boy talk. It's time for the broadcast. Welcome to another edition of the broadcast. I'm Vicky B. Over there we got Sarah.
Oh, hey.
And we have the lovely...
the high priestess herself, Destiny. Hi.
And today we have an awesome guest. We haven't had her in for about a year exactly. One that's a listener last year, you know, wanted to make sure we knew that she's absolutely perfect. And I so want to worship her like the avatar of Bridget. Oh. She is. Like, I don't think I said that right, but... Miss Kimberly Roseblade.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah. Last year, like, for those who missed out on the podcast last year, I met her in the weirdest way.
All great people in my life, though.
Right. I was working, like, I'm still working at the same restaurant, and I was literally on my way out, and I see people come in. I go seat them for the remaining servers. I was about to leave, and I ended up chatting with her for like a half hour, either after I had already clocked out.
About what?
Just life, her tattoos, just that's in general. Right. We just got into it. It's just some people you just groove with automatically.
Oh, yeah, and you were showing me all this amazing art that a friend of yours does here locally in Seattle.
Yeah, like there's just so much awesomeness. And I'm like, you need to be on our podcast, because she started talking about Sword Squatch, which is happening again. Why you're visiting, because you're actually from the lovely country of Canada.
Yes, I am. Just your neighbor north of the border.
But yes, and you're here again. You can also check out the podcast. It is on with the rest of the podcasts last year, if you want to check that out before listening to this one, kind of like previously on. But Sword Squash 2017, hold my beer.
Yep.
Let us know. What is it about?
That's the greatest name ever, beer. I must say.
So Sword Squash has now turned into this beautiful, wonderful thing that is its own creature. And hold my beer kind of, I mean, we've all heard of those sort of things. It's like a meme right now. And yeah, it's what can we do that's better and bigger than last year? Well, watch this. Hold my beer. Of course, we have a lot of different things going on this year. One of the workshops, even though it's not sword or martial arts related, is all about how to do things with fermented beverages.
Ooh.
Right. I know, right? And here we are.
Aren't you making some stuff, too? Or I think I saw on your Facebooks.
That's right. Well, I've been homebrewing for 12 years now.
Wow.
And I got two ciders on the go from a bunch of apple picking that was done in Southern Ontario.
See, I never was interested in brewing my own beer, but brewing my own cider is a light bulb. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, so I got two ciders I'm going to rack when I get home, and I made some mead last autumn, and mead needs a little while to age and taste really good.
Get meaty.
Get meaty in here. Yeah, so this one, in true Canadian fashion, I didn't just do a honey mead. I did half honey and half maple syrup. It turned out fantastic.
That sounds so good.
I brought some, and it's already been drank by all the volunteers and instructors at Sword Squatch, which was exactly the plan. So now I got to figure out what I'm going to brew for next year.
That's so more. Cool. Yes. That's why you need to brew a lot more.
How long does it take to brew a cider?
Cider will take a little bit long. Beer's easiest, depending on what you're brewing. But cider will take a little longer, especially because the ones, this is coming from pure apples that I had to juice and press myself with my friends. It was quite the afternoon project, but it was super, super awesome. And I'm going to be racking it after 2 weeks, and then probably going to let it sit for another 2 weeks before I bottle it, and then it should be ready to drink a little bit after that.
Oh, that's not bad at all, actually.
You can technically drink it right away, but you want to let it. I prefer waiting 2 months. I have a lot of friends that don't like waiting.
Yeah.
I'm totally doing that. Yeah.
It probably gets more alcoholic, like, the more you wait.
No. So one of the reasons why you rack it is to stop the fermentation process.
Oh, okay, okay.
And but also it just kind of probably enhances all the flavors.
Absolutely. And the two different flavors that I got for the cider this year, one of them is like a cinnamon ginger, and the other one is a peppermint licorice root.
Shut your mouth.
So one of the things we discussed last year is how she freaking does everything, by the way. So,
dude, like, I'm noticing, yeah.
Yeah, like, on top of being an awesome martial artist, you do a lot of awesome work with people. You are also, like, a singer. Like, it was kind of pissing me off and turning me on at the same time. Like, I don't know.
I have that effect on women, and I love it.
Oh, boy. Before we do get into that, I do want to talk a little bit more about Sword Squatch. Like, this is the first year that spectators are allowed to come in. You just pay, like, $10 and
absolutely.
You just come on in.
So we have a $10 spectator fee, and that gets you in, and it's particularly good if you want to listen to any of the lectures or watch any of the tournaments. Right now, as I speak, I do believe the very first pool of the women's longsword tournament tournament is happening. Finals will probably be later tonight. And then there's
this is Friday, by the way.
Yep. And then there's Open Steel, which is going to be happening. That's going to be probably the largest group of fighters, and we won't be having finals until Saturday night.
What does this even mean? Like, this is like a competition,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, how many people are compete?
Well, that really depends each year and for each different tournament. So we have rapier, we have longsword, and then, of course, there's the Bigfoot Brawl, which is a non-tournament, which is you go upstairs, you find a fighter, you talk about which weapon you want to use, and you do it. And this is a place where you can also do mixed weapons or just... Last year, we had a fighter dance-off. We also had, please don't try this at home, folks, a human jousting.
Wow.
It's okay. That's why we get you folks to sign a waiver.
Yeah. It's like, these are professionals, people, or almost professionals.
Yeah. Hold my beer.
For those, yeah, exactly.
So not anyone can participate. Like, I couldn't be part of the human jousting if I wanted.
No, but one of the things you can do is come in and... listen to some of the lectures, watch it, and as you automatically fall in love with what we call historical European martial arts, you're going to go, how do I do this in Seattle? We have a wonderful group of people that are hosting the event. They're called the Lonin League. They share the space with Sanka, which is the School of Acrobatics and New Circus Arts. It's down in Georgetown. They are phenomenal, lovely people, all great sword fighters, fencers, and martial artists, and just general rad human beings.
Wow. And you do a little bit of both. You do like the old school with the outfits, and then do the modern version.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a lot less expensive and easier to travel with modern fencing gear. That being said, it still is quite heavy. So we have the fencing masks. If you've ever worn a motorcycle jacket and you can feel the kind of plating in the arms and stuff, very, very similar. And then there's a lot of us in certain aspects of the community that really want to understand, okay, we read these historical texts, we do these historical martial arts, we should try putting on actual harness, which is the gambesons, the chainmail, the breastplates. That is heavy.
That is so
stuff
heavy.
You don't want to be traveling with, but it's neat. It really changes how you kind of understand the art and some of the ways in which you're fighting. Mm. What we tend to do in these tournaments is, even though we are wearing full protective gear, we are accepting things. If you get a blow to the arm, that's a valid strike. But if you're in harness, which is the full metal, you're not looking for blows like that. Yes, that's still a strike, but that's not going to stop an armored opponent. You need to get into the certain spaces where there is no armor, which is usually where a joint is. So the armpit, the elbow, behind the knee, and those are considered actual, like, valid shots.
Dang.
Do you feel it through all the...
Like pain?
Oh,
like,
yeah. I've got some sweet bruises, let me tell you.
What has been the most gnarliest either bruise or injury you've gotten from doing this?
The gnarliest from this specific.
Because, I mean, I could show you some bruises, and that's for my coffee table this week. And those are pretty gnarly.
Put a sword in my hand or get me doing something I'm supposed to be doing. I'm graceful as can be. Just get me walking down the street. I'll trip over shoelaces that don't even exist. For sure. I hear you.
I've
gotten some really gnarly ones, particularly around my wrists when I was working on dagger plays, and when you're doing a lot of blocks and stuff with that, and even though we're using wooden simulators of rondelles, your wrist bruise really easily. And I had a whole bunch of job interviews that week, and needing to cover those up was thank goodness I got some really cool leather cuffs and things.
Yeah. Guys. But if people do come to be a spectator, what different events or workshops can they see you at?
Absolutely. So we have a couple of different, a whole bunch of different lectures going on right now and different workshops, all of which you're welcome to view and take notes on. The workshops that I am doing are all based on fitness and learning how to coach better, not just for martial artists, but if you are a teacher, learning how to identify certain issues that one of your students might have, be it mobility, be it a previous injury, and learning how to work with that and either regress them back to certain places where they can learn the fundamental movements and get stronger, get more flexible, but without doing repetitive strain that's going to injure them. We have a wonderful talk about the history of Jewish people in historical European martial arts, which is particularly important these days. Given
which we got some stuff to talk about later.
Absolutely. We also have we have wrestling going on right now. We have pugilism. We have English longsword. We've got dagger. We've got rapier. We've got a little bit of everything. And the tournaments are going to be spectacular, particularly Saturday would be a great day to show up and to watch all that sort of stuff. Sunday is the Rapier tournament. And yeah,
just a whole weekend of a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And a whole lot of beer after the days are done.
Yes. Again, it is Sword Squatch 2017. Hold my beer. You can get all the information as well as your tickets and an awesome shirt that they have on here with like Sasquatch holding a beer.
I am looking at
the sword.
That now. Yeah. It's so awesome.
And the toilet paper comet thing. I don't know what that is, but I'm digging it.
I'm here for it.
Tonight's activities after the event's done, and unfortunately this is not open for spectators, is we are going to be playing Flaming Tetherball.
Oh, okay. What? I thought you were going to do like TPing with flaming toilet paper. I'm like, that is awful. But like, flaming tetherball is amazing.
That sounds so scary.
That sounds awesome.
You're
saying
this to
awesome
a woman
wrong.
Who argues with swords for a living.
wait, like, is the tetherball on fire?
Yeah. Hence the flaming tetherball.
And then you just
Sarah's just like, but wait.
You're not holding it. You're just hitting it real fast.
Yeah, hence the hold my beer.
Yeah.
Watch this, hold my beer.
I don't even put like a candle out with my hand. You know, people just like do that. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, poor Sarah.
I know.
But actually, it's kind of up in your neck of the woods, Georgetown, where you work.
Yeah, it's my other job. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're just trying to figure
really
that out.
Neat neighborhood in
so
Seattle.
So funky.
I love it. It's got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and all like kinds that. Of people.
I love that.
If you want more information, swordsquatch.org, by the way, and it'll be up with the link on our Facebook page to this interview that you can check out. Please share.
I have a really quick question, because when I think of fencing, all I think about really is the Parent Trap.
Do me too. That's all I was thinking about this whole time.
I know, and I love it, and I like love that scene. Do they do a good job?
Well, that's more based off of sports fencing. Now, sports fencing is derived from actual historical martial fencing, but with the idea of, in sports fencing, it is, it's a game of tag, and it's more based off of who hits first. But if it's done in the same beat, that doesn't matter. They get them on the little clocks, and they're like, well, such and such hit about 0.2 seconds before them, so they're going to get the point.
Sounds like you don't, this isn't your particular.
Actually, no, I have massive respect for sports fencers. As far as the speed and agility and the kind of ways that they need to practice to hone their art is fantastic. And it's one of the ways in which the martial aspect of fencing survived into the modern age. But it's very, very different, whereas in a martial setting, it doesn't matter if you technically hit me half a second beforehand. If both of us got hit within what we would call the same beat or tempo, martially speaking, you're both injured. That's not valid. You know?
Understood. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, by the way, if you want to check out her Facebook page, if you just type in at the Roseblade, because it's going to be the easiest thing to do.
The Roseblade.
And the page is called Kimberly Roseblade Instructor, Longsword and Fitness, but at the Roseblade, it'll pop up right there for you. Follow
Pretty
her. Check
easy.
Out all the cool things she's doing. Mm-hmm. Aside from Longsword and Fitness and all that good stuff, you're also a freaking awesome singer.
Thank you.
What have you been up to lately in the music scene? Because I know you and Taryn got to jam about that last year.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, since leaving Vancouver, I'm now living in Toronto, which is where I grew up. And I've rejoined an old funk project that I was doing years ago, and I'm singing with them. And I'm also doing a folk music project as well. So I got two different things on the go right now.
What's the funk funk project?
Snooky Tynes and the Soul Express Man.
Oh, my God. I love that.
I love it so much. I'm so happy right now.
It's a lot of fun. It's super fun. Funk music is just, I love writing folk music. I love metal. My tastes are super eclectic, but I love singing funk. I love performing funk. I love shaking my booty on stage.
I love it.
any possible shows here in Seattle? No.
I wish.
Right. Well, you're always welcome here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There'll probably be some jamming going on later tonight, and I'm hoping to bust out my singing chaps.
Oh, my gosh.
At the very least, karaoke.
Oh, yes.
I don't know, karaoke is my jam, so that's why I'm always super excited.
That's right. Next time I come down, we'll have to find a karaoke night.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm like, there's a karaoke place stumbling distance from my house.
She loves it.
I love it because they know me. I don't even get carded anymore. The guy looks at me, he's like, nope, yep. I know who you are. Get in. Even the karaoke DJ, the main one, DJ Aphrodite. She's like, Nikki. Like, the second I walk in, she puts my name down and she's just yelling at me, what song you want?
That's amazing. That's
you're
awesome.
You're in the lineup. You don't have to worry about it. I got you.
They make some pretty strong drinks, too.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Okay. You folks got me convinced.
Yep. Yes. One of these days. Mm-hmm. Or whenever you just want to visit Seattle for fun.
I love visiting Seattle. This is such a wonderful city. Every time I come here, I always wish I stay longer.
I hear good things about Toronto, too. I've never been.
Toronto's really neat. It's very interesting coming back after living in Vancouver for 11 years. It's wonderful. It's a super eclectic city. I love all the little, kind of like how in Seattle, once you leave the downtown, there's all these different neighborhoods, which are different pockets, which kind of have their own feel and community and vibe. Toronto is wonderful for that. I love how multicultural it is.
That's what I noticed that part when I went to Toronto. Toronto's so cool.
Oh, yeah. I love it. It's got everything I want as far as what a big city has to offer, but it's surrounded by valleys and rivers, and you have Lake Ontario there, so it's very easy to kind of get into little pockets and make you feel like you're out of the city. And
that's like really far away, Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Because Vancouver's just like right there.
Yeah, yes. Last Toronto's time I came on the down, other side. It was a hop, skip, and a jump, but yeah.
Is it like an 8-hour flight?
It was like a stopover in Detroit and then a 4-hour flight from Detroit to here.
That's fine.
I drove 10 hours from New York to
that
get
sounds
to Toronto.
About right.
Yeah.
So I go down to New York fairly often to teach and to train there. I got some really good friends with a sword school in that neck of the woods, which is wonderful. Yeah. But yeah, my school in Toronto is called the Academy of European Medieval Martial Arts, and we share a space with the Fighting Arts Collective of Toronto, where there's multiple martial arts schools that kind of have about a 4,000 square foot studio. And we also share that studio with a aerialist school because we have the high rafters. Very similar to kind of what's going on with the Sanka folks and the Lonan League here. But it's a wonderful environment to learn and train in. And the thing that I find most interesting as a martial artist, I'll look it over at what the Jeet Kune Do folks are doing or the Wing Chun folks, and I'll notice plays that we do in our martial arts, which I think really kind of solidifies the idea of fighting is fighting, and you're going to find certain similarities regardless of what the system is. And it's really, really neat to train and share ideas with different folks.
Well, that's a lot of fun. And I also, speaking of Toronto, it reminded me that you guys are actually doing something awesome. Like, there's been a lot of talks in the news, a lot of people not liking perhaps the way some leaders are doing things and all the people they're encouraging, whether they mean to or not. So we've had an uproar of seeing some awful human beings, but we're also seeing a lot of amazing human beings and what they're doing to prove that we are in this together.
Yes.
But you guys are doing a counter protest in Toronto.
There's going to be one happening, I think, very recently after I get back, and I want to show up in like my full gear. Unfortunately, in my type of martial art, we have the historical European martial arts community, and unfortunately, a lot of neo-Nazi groups just focus on the E in European and latch on to that. And it's really, really unfortunate. And I feel that we really need to particularly stand against that.
What does that mean? Can we dumb it down a little?
Okay. can I swear on air?
Yeah, I'll bleep it.
I'm really sick of centrist bullshit. No, when it comes down to this, you really do need to pick a side. And being like, oh, you know, we gotta let these people speak. And No.
Yes.
We need to nip this in the bud right now. And if you've ever asked what you would have done in history, what you would have done during the civil rights marches, what you would have done during Nazi Germany, it is the people that sit back and do nothing because they just want to let people pass or have the right to say what they want to say that allow them to grow. We need to stand. We need to say there's absolutely no room for this. And, you know, especially as someone who's a historian, I've written different blog posts and stuff about this. A lot of these people try to imagine a Europe that was completely and only white, which is absolutely bullshit.
Right.
Check out the website Medieval POC. And it shows tons of different images and manuscripts that showcase people of color all throughout Europe. Catherine of Aragon, who was Henry VIII's first wife, her lady-in-waiting was black. There was numerous black people who were in the courts of England. Most of southern Spain had a huge history of people from northern Africa there. So to imagine a Europe without black people is absolute BS. It didn't exist. Europe did not exist in a vacuum. Our history did not exist in a vacuum. And we need to put a stop to white supremacists trying to pretend otherwise.
Woo! Amen!
Stop. Here, here. Damn.
Got no time for this.
Have you guys seen, I'm totally blanking, it's like Monomo or something. There's so many different companies right now that are doing the ancestry test, including Ancestry.com.
I just got mine back. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got yours back?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Right,
okay. But there is one line in one of these commercials, and I'll post it because I always, every time I see it on Facebook, I repost it. And it's this group of people, like, figuring out that, like, no, you know, us French people, we're the best, or we're us this people, I'm better than you, this and that. And then they all see that they're not 100% anything. And the woman, the French woman, says, you know, this should be cursory. Like, this should be standard. Everyone should do this. And then everyone would know there is no such thing as a pure race. All this is total crap. And oh, yeah. We would have one less thing to fight about, we would assume.
Right.
You like to think.
We always have something to fight about.
But right. I do find it fascinating. Destiny, what does your test say? Which one did you do?
So I did Ancestry specifically because they had, like, the most... like the most, you know, like data and people send in mm-hmm. theirs so you can cross reference. So what I got was, I'm trying to think of everything correctly. I got, I can't think of the percentages, but like it's basically like all like even. I swear it is like all like very even. Cameroonian, Ethiopian, Nigerian. One more that I honestly can't pronounce. I have to look at like my results again, and of course 10% European, because you know how that whole thing went,
right?
And then so yeah, I'm like actually like super super excited about it, because were you so surprised or are you like
I thought I was all, or did you know, or
well,
like at
I didn't know whatsoever, like,
oh really,
like literally no single idea, like not even a little bit. So because like
that's
my
cool.
Yeah, my parents passed, and like their parents, so like I had like literally no idea. So
both your parents are not kicking it anymore?
Yeah, well, not that I know of, no, honey.
Oh.
I mean, we don't know if the zombie
apocalypse. Oh, were you adopted?
No.
Yeah, by my, like, my mom, my grandma adopted me.
What?
You know that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my grandma adopted me.
Oh,
so
shoot.
Yeah.
So, and then, like, and so, like, I, of course, didn't know anything about my heritage or anything like that. So it definitely is something for me to just, like, oh, like, I feel a little bit more in tuned, I guess.
That's awesome.
If that makes sense, like, just...
I'm like super torn
from somewhere,
because I like half don't know what I am. So like half of me like kind of wants to find out, but then half of me like kind of thinks it's cool. I'm a mystery. Like I can be whatever I want.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, that's kind of like I think of it.
Like the one of the things for me, because I'm kind of a mystery a little bit, because my parents are both from Mexico, and I actually got an ancestry test. My roommate's mom bought me a test because she knew I wanted to do it.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's really neat.
So I think I'm still like 2 to 3 weeks out from getting my results.
Wow.
I'm super, oh my gosh, yeah, tell me.
yeah, no, I will be revealing it. I'm thinking of doing a Facebook Live about it, just why not?
Oh, cool.
Just because it's, like, my parents are both from Mexico. My mom's side, like, my grandparents look really dark, so I like to think that they kind of have more indigenous features from, like, certain...
there's such a colonial history in Mexico as well,
right.
Though,
it's, and I know my dad said it, he thinks... somewhere up on, like, great-great-great-grandpa status or grandma was French, because, you know, when the whole, you know, the reason we celebrate Cinco de Mayo, France wanted our, you know, everything from us, like oil, and we want money and everything from you because of A, B, and Z, and I'm mm-hmm. guessing some French dude stayed behind and's like, I'm digging you.
I need to take a history class. I don't know any of this.
So I know that's probably why I have such a pale complexion, but now I started talking to my dad. He's like, when I told him I took this test, I thought he would be, I don't know what I thought he would react or why I thought he might react negatively. He's like, oh, what if we're Irish? What if we're this? Like, we don't know. Like, we could be any of this.
Yeah.
He's super excited about it, too. So I might
That's
have to
cool.
get him one, too.
No, I was mm-hmm. the same way, because I was like, my dad doesn't know anything about him.
Yeah.
So I was always like, well, like, why haven't you figured it out? Like, if I figure it out, then you pretty much know what you know what I mean? It was
right.
weird. So I was like, why don't you do it? He doesn't care. He's like,
yeah.
You want to know? No, I don't care.
Like, some of these tests do kind of tell you what you're more prone to disease-wise.
Hey! Oh, so, you know what? I didn't even look at that part.
I think some of those you either have
you
to pay extra or you can look at.
Yeah, that's different than Ancestry.com.
But. Yeah, it depends on the test. Because I know there's 23andMe does one, mm-hmm. Ancestry, and there's a couple other companies, too.
It's good to know, but I don't know if I don't want to know that.
I feel it.
Well, like, it might change the way you live your life a little bit, too. You're like, I'm really prone to diabetes. Maybe I won't eat this ice cream.
But then if it's like, I'm really prone to, like, having bad liver. Like, will I stop drinking? And now I'll just feel guilty about it.
maybe instead of drinking every night, you just drink on the weekends. Like, I don't know, Sarah.
I'm
going to drink myself to death. I'm not going to stop.
Well, like. Someone like me, like I have lupus and I have fibromyalgia. And when I'm in an active lupus flare, I don't drink whatsoever. My lifestyle changes quite dramatically. But when I'm not in an active lupus flare, I mean, I'm obviously teaching martial arts, I'm dancing, I'm singing,
What happens in an active lupus?
That really depends on what it decides to attack. So basically,
that's your immune system, right?
Yeah, that's my immune system. It's so hyperactive that it sees healthy cells as foreign and attacks them. It attacks my internal organs.
Everything. My mom had lupus.
Yeah, it's very. It's affects. As far as statistics, the ratio is for every one man diagnosed with lupus, there's 9 women, and it's exceptionally prevalent in women of color. We don't know why.
Wow.
Maybe I should get that.
You're like, better write that lupus.
Is it a genetic thing or?
So my grandmother had it and passed away from it. From the Roseblade side of the family, my mother has it. But none of her cousins have it. None of the other members of my family have it. I have it, though, and even though it's a totally different autoimmune disease, my brother just got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Which Taryn's actually doing a bike ride this weekend.
I told her I was super, super stoked about that. And I know she did it last year, too.
Yeah, it's the Bike MS Deception Pass Classic, and I know she's done this before, and she's doing it because her mom, I believe, has multiple sclerosis.
Is that where your bones, like... Or your That's muscles deteriorate?
I think.
There's a couple of different forms of multiple sclerosis. From what I understand, there's 3 different types. One of them is very, very slow to progress. Some of them are a lot more aggressive. Basically, it can do everything. You'll often find it in the spine. I know that's how they were able to check it out in my brother. But it can also affect the signals that your body and your brain brings to your body. So you will have you want to grasp your hand around your coffee mug, but the signal's just not happening properly.
So a disease in which the immune system eats away at the protective covering of the nerves. So if your nerves start to go.
Dude, nerve damage is a scary thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no, so we got to give props to people who
thank you, Taryn, for riding for all these different people.
Taryn's awesome. Yeah,
yeah, she's
sporadic.
And
that's amazing that you can still like do everything you love and
I do.
I've had
to alter it for sure, but at the same time, I'm really stubborn. It's the redhead thing, I guess. and I don't want to be a poster kid for lupus because there's a lot of people that have it to a degree that's very different than mine that couldn't do what I'm doing. Mm. And there's been times that I've been in the hospital. There's been times I've been in a wheelchair. And I always, after those times, it takes a while to get back up to where I'm at. But I'm never going to stop. And I think it's really important to be, for me, I'm very open about my lupus because I know it's a thing that a lot of folks hide, and for good reason. There's still lots of prejudice against everything from physical health, but also mental health. And I want to be really open about it. And it's really helped me as an instructor because I've had people email me from across the world saying, I have fibromyalgia, or I have lupus, or I have MS, or I have this autoimmune thing. I've heard that not only do you have this, you're an instructor. How can you help me? How can you do that? And if that's a way that I can reach out to people and give them some hope and help them keep doing what they want to do, I just think that that's part of one of the reasons why I'm here, and I'm going to keep doing it, and I'm going to keep fighting for visibility for stuff like that.
That's
for sure.
Amazing.
You are freaking awesome. Like, can I get your number? Like, you're totally, I'm getting my passport renewed, and I'm coming to visit.
Come up to Toronto. We'll hang out. You can stay at my place. I've got a super rad pad.
I'm so jealous.
I can bake for you.
Amazing.
Actually, she's an amazing baker.
Awesome.
I was like, I can do gluten-free things or anything. Like, what's up?
I can make
an apple cider cupcake with one of your ciders.
Oh. Shut the front door.
I'm leaving it open, boo.
Guess what? You got to stay next time for a full week.
Yes.
Between all our houses.
This close.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah.
I'm picking your house too, Sarah. Sorry, I invited her for you.
Oh, that's right, because you're down in Georgetown.
Oh, no, she works in Georgetown. She lives in Mercer Island.
Awesome sauce.
And I'm like trying to think of something I can offer you when I stay at your place.
Alcohol.
You're like, drink.
I was like, all she's, do is,
oh
I
yeah,
can,
no,
I
she makes her own cider.
I can twerk for you.
Actually, she's perfect. Pretty good at twerking.
That's twerk amazing.
No.
I was like,
she wants that kick, kick, kick.
Yeah. Can I just take history class? I need to get a better hobby. Wow.
Come join us at my school. We are a drinking club with a sword problem. So
I love it.
Put a long sword in your hand. Come and stay and drink after.
You're kind of making me want to move to Canada. Like even more right now.
I would say even more somehow. Right. Even more.
Because I always thought Canada has so many cool places to check out between food and culture and history and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Damn you, woman. one thing I do want to bring up that's kind of what we're talking about now, just to kind of give it some love. Your dad, Sarah, this Sunday is going to be doing the I'm Listening. It's End the Stigma of Talking About Mental Health.
Yes.
And we're having, there's going to be a lot. It's going to be completely live, which is going to be 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. or it's 7 a.m. Pacific. So if you guys hear, it's going to be 7 a.m. on Sunday. We're going to have Metallica, Logic, Halsey. I believe even Chris Novoselic is going to, we're going to hear from him at some point as well. Talking about mental health and suicide. And
oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
David Draymond from Disturbed is also going to be a part of this. So a lot of big name people who, have had to deal with this kind of stuff. And we're going to have BJ's going to be talking to actual doctors from, we have Dr. Christine Mutter, and just all these different things. So, yeah, definitely check it out. We're going to be posting it on all our sites. And imlistening.org, or if you go to KISW.com, you can also check it out. But it is a big thing right now. And I think we're realizing this, and not to get too deep and dark, but I feel like it's awful that all these things have had to happen, especially this year. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that I'm starting to finally see people
talking about it.
Seriously, I guess, more than just within themselves.
Because in past times, I feel like people would just say, oh, they were selfish, condemn them, and then be done with it. And then just have this negative view on that person forever.
Well, then imagine if you're someone struggling and you hear that from another peer saying, well, that person was selfish, that person was that, blah, blah, blah. You've just been told, not necessarily directly, that you are not allowed to ask for help.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be sick. So it only segregates and isolates more.
Right.
And then it's like a vicious cycle. It probably then happens again and again.
It's just they can't handle it.
What I love the most about the Air Force, they gave us so many briefings and then just said, you're allowed to come talk to mental health. Come talk to us. This will not go on your record. If you need to talk to somebody, you're allowed to do so. And I think that really opened up, I guess, the conversation within, the military, at least for my base, to allow people to actually get help without being, like you said,
have a stigma.
Yeah.
That's really cool. They even said that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And then they had specific briefings. Please come. We're listening.
And I think that there needs to be more of that. And Sarah even pointed out before we started the podcast, Vicky, you need to stand up for yourself more because I'm kind of a pushover.
Hmm. The most pushy over ever, and then bitches about it to everyone else but the person.
Right.
Yes.
And I will admit it. It is one of my flaws that I'm trying to work on.
It's also one of the things women are societally conditioned to do. So that's another thing to talk about as well.
Let's get on that. But I did recently, actually, when the whole when Chester did pass away, some girl posted a very distasteful meme on her page. And I've known her since we were kids. We played soccer together. She's a mother now. And I was just like, what the hell gives you the right? Why? I totally bitched her out. I politely, I didn't insult her. Mm-hmm. I didn't do any of that. But I'm just like, why do you think that this is appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
And she was just like, well, it's selfish what they did. And you and I have experienced people do this. And we know the pain it is. I'm like, I think it's more selfish that you are totally putting someone down for something they can't control. Their brain is sick. Do you not understand that? Mm-hmm. Their brain is sick. Do you think that they wish they could fix that? And this happened, unfortunately. And so by you putting that negative crap out in the universe, you're talking about, oh, they're poor kids and family. I'm like, you're putting it out there for their kids to maybe see. Some idiot's going to share it. Some other idiot's going to share it. And it's going to be right in front of their kids.
Yeah.
And she took it down. She didn't say anything. She took it down. Bitch,
good.
I win. Mother effer. Sorry, I got excited because I won.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
But anyways, let's talk about more exciting things. Let's go back to Happy Friday. This weekend's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. Do check out Sword Squash 2017. Hold my beer.
Absolutely.
It's going to be great.
Come and find me, the Roseblade.
Will you be taking pictures with all your lovely fans?
Oh, absolutely.
Including, I still can't get over because I looked at the picture from last year. It's Taryn Kimberly and myself, and the guy did do that comment. I wasn't kidding. Keegan, I won't say his last name.
Said what?
She is perfect and absolutely perfect, and I so want to worship her like the avatar of Brigid.
Celtic goddess, yeah.
Yeah, she is.
Like hair the
Celtic,
flip.
Oh,
Celtic goddess
that.
Hair
yeah,
flip.
About her. Dude, I freaking want to do the same thing, man. I don't blame you.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm sorry, buddy, but she is taken.
By who?
I have
I met him sword fighting.
Yay! Sorry, that's kind of cool.
That is romantic.
Yes. Please tell me you whooped his ass, and then it's like, hey.
He actually just got his next rank in our academy. He has the rank of scholar. He's originally from France.
Oh, right?
The amount of bread, butter, and cheese that man can eat without gaining a pound annoys the heck out of me.
Okay, now I'm just thinking about bread, butter, and cheese, and I got really excited.
Yeah, which is funny because Sarah's on a diet right now.
Those are legit the things I'm eliminating in booze.
Yeah.
It was bread, cheese.
Do you
want to
know why I teach fitness? Because I really like cheese and beer. It's like, I don't want to give this up, but
yeah.
It's all about balance.
Oh, my balance is
find
like,
your balance.
Deadlift, like, squats, and pizza.
Yeah.
That shirt. That's what it should be. Like, just sell it at your classes and everything. Sorry, I was
deadlift,
just remembering.
Squats, and pizza. Yeah.
I threw a bachelorette party recently, and I told her, we cannot go to Costco hungry. Okay,
no,
we cannot.
It's dangerous.
Free samples. It's so smart.
No, but we were real hungry. It was like noon and we hadn't eaten anything. And so I was like, okay, we're going to go to the food court first, eat and then go shopping. Or we can get the food court, get our hot dog and eat while we walk.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, but I want a salad.
Like, you're in Costco, honey.
I'm like, fine. And so we decided to do it after. Just because, like, I don't want to have her either walking with the stupid salad or waiting for her to finish her salad. I ended up buying this big block of cheese that I sampled. And it's kind of like Parmesan cheese, but it's a little bit more buttery and not so hard.
Oh, my God.
That
I chopped
that
it up. Yeah,
you know,
at the party?
Dude.
This cheese.
I ate probably, like, 3/4 of that block. and then that cheese was so good.
Whatever was left, I would lay in bed and just plop it in my mouth like it was popcorn.
And
it was so good.
I don't know if you were there or if you went upstairs to change, but then the bachelorette girl decided to tell us how many calories was in, like, a small, square
That's
of
mean.
It. And I was like, I've already had, like, 18 small squares of this.
like, bitch, thanks.
And then I just kept eating it.
Yeah, like, screw it.
Too late now.
Too late now.
We're going to, you know, consume all the alcohol, all the calories. I don't care.
Yeah. So. Gotta live life.
Sorry. So, yeah, that was my cheese story.
Awesome. Wait, anyway, I want to go back to your man for a second. So you guys were fighting.
No,
and
no,
he was
that
like,
sounds
oui,
horrible.
Oui, je m'appelle Jean-Paul.
I just moved to Toronto in this lovely school, the Academy of European Medieval Martial Arts. I had trained with them before, and they were now becoming my home school. And usually when I'm fighting someone of a lower rank than me in the school, they just haven't learned control yet. They're trying to muscle through the techniques instead of actually just doing the techniques.
Oh, so he was lower than you.
Yeah.
You were his superior.
You were on top of him.
That's later. But we were doing some wrestling techniques. And, you know, it's good. It's also good to, as a higher ranking member of the academy, to make sure you are training with the lower ranking members. That's how they learn. And I was really impressed with the way that he moved. I was like, this person does not move like...
Like a newbie.
And I found out he'd been doing this martial art for a while back in Europe before he immigrated. And I also found out that, like myself, he does dance. And it was funny, having not known this after we were done working on some of these techniques, I like to always shake hands with the person that I'm working with. And I said, thank you for the dance. And he's like, yes, we were dancing. Yeah, it was a very long courtship of us liking each other but not wanting to. We were a part of so many similar communities, including the martial arts. Yeah. It was like, I like you, but let's not do this. Let's not do
messy.
This. Yeah, and then we were like, we're adults. Let's just be adults and do this. And now we have a wonderful loft in Toronto. We're brewing beer out of there. It's 5 blocks away from our training studio.
That's so cute.
Where will we be visiting at some point?
Yes.
Please,
too.
For sure.
There you go, Bastian. I talked about you on air.
You guys probably have the most, like, fluid, smooth, like, in rhythm sex.
my sex life is fantastic.
Like, I made the noise, but I was like, wait, I want to hear that.
Oh, it's awesome. Like, we can check out girls together as well when we're going down the street, and we'll both turn our head and be like, did you see that girl on that bike? High five, yeah.
You're awesome.
I love it. That's like relationship goals. Hashtag.
Relationship
goals. I was thinking when you were talking about how you guys were practicing techniques together, have you ever in your whole career of being a trainer or even just being just learning or any of that, has a guy ever been like, well, I can't fight you because you're a girl? And how do you respond?
Question. I've had stuff like that happen. Usually people like that don't last too long, at least in the schools that I tend to frequent. But especially with wrestling techniques, I've had guys do the thing where they hold you with arms like you're 12 years old dancing at your first middle school dance.
Oh, no.
And I'm trying to explain, well, thank you for giving me that arm bar, but you can't do that. And with any kind of wrestling, be it the sort of wrestling that we're doing here to even jiu-jitsu, you have to roll with people on the ground. You have to get in close. And I remember one time taking this poor guy's forearm, because one of the techniques we were doing, it's a position you get in called collar and elbow, and he's still giving me the straight arm. And I point to my and I go, mountains, valley. Put your arm in the valley. Get your hand around my neck. Let's do this. And just, you know, there's nothing sexual about it. This is fighting. And if you want to make it sexual, then get the heck out. Like, seriously.
I make it sexual at my house.
Yeah.
I make fighting sexual.
By the way,
at my
she
house.
Pointed at her boobs when she said mountains and in between the valley. Or, well, yep. Not like yep. the yep. in between.
In
her.
The valley.
I was like, where the
in between
rivers?
The boobs. Yeah. Not down there.
Get it in there.
Yeah, no,
get it in the valley.
Guy yeah, turned four shades of red. It was wonderful.
He was like, she called me out. Yeah. I'm was he, making was, it sexual.
Was he a young guy? Or
was he, pardon?
Was he a young guy?
I was probably around my age, or a little bit younger for sure. But it's very, very interesting. Most men in martial arts learn very, very quickly that women are not superior or inferior. All of us have different body types. All of us have different, some of us have long legs. Some of us have short legs. All of us come from different backgrounds, and that's going to affect your fighting. The smaller fighter might have issue with some aspects working against a bigger fighter, but their center of gravity is going to be lower. They're going to have other options available. You fight for your body type against the body type of the person that you're fighting.
Whether it's right. a dude or chick.
Whether it's a woman or a man, someone who's 6'5", or I've got some badass woman friends in New York who, like, I think Tybee's maybe 4'10". Or,
damn.
Yeah. Oh, she's a fierce little thing, though. She's wonderful. And she loves all the sword stuff. The shirt I'm wearing right here, Fekja, from Women's Swordsmanship Weekend, where it's an event in New York that's hosted by Rogue Fencing. And they try to focus on, it's for all genders, but they try to focus specifically on making sure we have a lot of women's tournaments and primarily women instructors.
Nice.
Oh, that's really
I love
awesome.
It.
Badass. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many tournaments or are different places do you fly out to per year, you would say?
Oh, well, given the fact that I'm a martial arts instructor, musician.
All the things.
I'm just everything.
I'm really happy, but I don't make a lot of money. So, but there, if you had the time and the money, you can almost pick almost any weekend and fly out anywhere in North America or Europe. The historical European martial arts community, or HEMA, is really, really growing right now. And that's fantastic. And you're going to find different flavors, those that are kind of doing more modern stuff focused more on tournament fighting, and those that are focused on the history and the research and the translating. And it's wonderful. It's a really nice deep pool to dive into.
Dang it, now I want to do it.
You should.
Come, dude, you'd actually be really good at it, Vicky. I feel like.
I think you would too. You're you got the right
feisty.
Yes.
Panache.
I got the low center of gravity working for me. I know BJ, her dad, likes to, like, I'm basically the adopted Mexican daughter in their family. So he was like, he messes with Sarah all the time, like fake hits are like,
he does.
Because just to be annoying. And he does that to me. He's trying to push me, and he couldn't because I'm just like, I'm sturdy, dude. Don't mess with me.
Sturdy. You can get all your anger out on the, you're not standing up for people, too. You can get all it out.
We call that having good fortitude, when you're able to keep your balance, keep your strength, and that sort of center. And that's one of the foundational aspects of the martial art that I teach and train.
Dang. Fortitudo.
Yeah, the image for that is an elephant carrying a castle on his back to show that he's not just strong, but that he is well balanced, and that's how he's able to keep the castle erect.
Oh, that wait. Sounds awesome.
I actually, God, be my friend.
He'd be an awesome, like, I don't want to say reality TV show because I feel like a lot of those are based off of like just drama between people, but I feel like we should just have a show and all live together and see what happens.
I'm down for reality because I love me some reality.
See, Sarah
TV
will be the reality part.
Yeah.
But like, let's
Destiny
totally
be the baker.
Destiny will be too. Destiny shakes her head like, not, yeah, Sarah's. And I'm like, nah,
no, the only reason.
Some trouble.
The only reason why I'm shaking my head and not saying anything because you know exactly what I did before we rolled in. So I'm just feeling really lovely. So I'm just like,
yeah,
you got it. You got it for today. But no, we trouble for sure.
And no, but no, I'll bake too. I'll bake too.
And I'll just sit there and be like, "Hey guys, teach me stuff."
No, your artist thing or your singing between you two. Can we all just get a house together?
Yeah.
Let's all get a house together
right.
in Toronto.
Perfect. That's gonna happen.
Or Vancouver. I mean, whatever. Anywhere in Canada.
Oh. Toronto's sounding pretty cool right now, though.
Yeah, true.
Vancouver has a less than 1% vacancy rate. Good luck.
What?
Yeah, I was because talking. We all trying to run away.
Yeah. No, my buddy was trying to get an apartment last year,
Yeah,
that's it took
insane.
Forever.
That's scary when I think about it, honestly. There's literally no more room.
No, there was many reasons why I left Vancouver, but that was one of many reasons. And it's not that we don't have vacancy. It's just that there are houses that people are buying as... you know, they've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad and stuff like that. So
my
they
dad
buy
loved
up
that book.
They buy up this property, but they refuse to rent it. So there's literally empty houses, there's empty condos. I have friends that work in concierge and they work in these huge high rises and they only see the same 40 people every day because more than 70% of the building is not actually inhabited
what
by humans.
What a waste.
It is a waste. And then what ends up happening is the few spots that are available and that people are renting, you get into renting and bidding wars. It's not fun.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm good.
So yeah, Toronto. Yeah.
Hey, Toronto.
Yep.
But
or as they say it, Tirana or Toronto.
Tirana.
I get a lot of flack because I pronounce all the consonants.
I like Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto.
Toronto.
Just start making up weird ones. They're like, what? Don't worry about it.
That's okay. I'm Tirana.
Tirana. It sounds like Wisconsin.
Yeah, Tirana.
Tirana. Knick knack nannywhack. We're also schooled Georgetown this weekend for Sword Squatch 2017. Excuse me. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Yep.
Swordsquatch.org for all the information. And you can follow Kimberly at, if you do, at The Rose Blade on Facebook, you'll find her.
And we'll post a picture of her. So if you see her, you can be like, what up?
What's up?
What up?
Rose Blade.
She's the tiny little redhead with powerful legs. Can't miss her.
Little dyslexia.
And you know what I just realized, my loves? We never told our lovely listeners how to actually contact us.
Yes, actually.
That's immersing.
A little bit. So we should do that. And shall we read the rant session? We actually got a rant session. And I think I got a message from the Facebooks as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Or something else.
Alrighty, my love. So sorry for forgetting. So don't forget to hit us up at, so on the Facebook at the broad dash cast. Can't speak today.
Broad-cast.
Twitter, Instagram are the same at the broadcast 999, and you can call or text us at 253-778-6029. And you, of course, can email us at thebroadcast999@gmail.com. That's where you can send all your rant sessions. And what do we have now, though?
We have a rant sesh.
Yeah. Woo! You got to get into the feel, though. So what we shall explain to people who are new to this. We decided that a lot of people are stressed out. They're mad, and maybe I thought this up because I'm pushover. There are things I want to say. No, I'm using that as my new...
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I'm not going to tell the person, so I'm going to just bitch.
Well, I'm going to yell and bitch, so that way I have the confidence to properly describe. Because when I actually get really emotional, or when I get upset at somebody, I get really emotional, and then what I'm trying to say doesn't come through.
Yeah.
I will literally, I'm mad about this. This has nothing to do with that. I know. That's not what I meant.
You do get like that.
It is very much true. Like, I've had arguments with guys before, and they're like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know. I'm just emotional, and I can't. Like, that's why I hate arguing, and I like to, like, get it out so I know I'll look in the mirror and yell so I know exactly what I want to say with the amount of vigor that I want.
Vigor.
Hence why I bitch a lot. Which I need to knock it off.
So what's...
But people are stressed out. We're tired of seeing the Facebook posts. So how about let's add a little life to these bitch fests. And there was one we had last week about Donald Trump and some other crap. What is the one we got today?
Okay. I think it's a dude. So let me try my dude voice.
Hey, ladies. As someone who drives for a living in Seattle, I can't stand most cyclists who say they want same rules as motor vehicles, but drive through red lights all the time. How does that even make sense? I grew up in LA, and it was never this bad. Sometimes when I drive and see a cyclist take a red light in front of me, I feel like turning my head or checking my phone. Winky face. Winky face. Anyway, have a wonderful weekend and keep doing what you do, ladies.
I will say, cyclists are annoying as hell.
They annoy
the piss the F out of me, and I just spat everywhere. I'm sorry.
Yes. But as a cyclist, I will say
you guys are annoying as hell.
I got yelled at in Toronto because I, check this out, stopped at a red light, and the cyclist behind me wanted to run the red light and was like just cussing out a storm. And I'm like, why are you angry? You stopped. Yes, I did what I'm legally supposed to do.
So, I will say this,
there's a lot of cyclists that want to be treated like vehicles, which they technically are supposed to be, but then decide to arbitrarily follow the rules of the road whenever it suits them. And unfortunately, that does create a lot of aggression from motorists because they get pissed off.
No, I'm pissed off because they're in the way. They're just in the way. You're not a car. Go away.
There's like two really, really windy roads on Mercer Island, and there's like a little bike lane. And yes, it's very small and I'm so sorry, but I'm really not sorry. But they're windy streets and the car, you can go like 25, 30 miles an hour. I'm sorry, bike rider. Even if your legs are so big and you're wearing your little like tight pants and stuff, you can't go that fast. So it's such a windy road that I have to wait till there's like somewhat of a straight road to be able to pass them, right? But there's so many of them that I'll pass one and then I'm just behind another one and I'm like, you deserve to get hit. You deserve to get hit. But you don't really deserve to, but you do.
There's a lot of cycling infrastructure here in the city, though. Like, are they making more of it? Like,
yeah, they're very much about like cyclists and being more green.
Being more green. We have bikes everywhere. You can just rent a bike on the street and like put an app to it, and then it unlock for you.
Yeah.
So there are random bikes throughout the entire.
Yeah, there's a company. There's one that's like a Lime
bike.
But I'll use sometimes.
It's like the smart car, but with bikes.
Okay, are they providing helmets for these folks?
Nope.
Reflective gear? Well, that's damn stupid. Right?
I think there is. There's probably. I don't know if there's a light on it or not, but
I think it's meant for like the people who like Danny, who works here. He brings his helmet with him.
Yeah, and then unlocks it. But he's like, dude, I don't know how long this is gonna last. Like, people like knock kickstands and break them and rip off things. And
exactly.
As someone who doesn't, I've never had a license. I've never drove. I'm only a cyclist. I'm only a cyclist, and I will say this. Cyclists, if you can hear me, I am one of you. Use your f-ing turn signals, wear a goddamn helmet, get some sort of reflective beer and lights, and don't be a douche canoe. Sincerely, the Roseblade.
Sincerely, the Roseblade.
And it would be really nice if you were in the street and there was a sidewalk and you noticed there's a car behind you. Just like go, or the bike lane. Just go in the bike lane just so I can
then
pass you.
For
and then
you. That's what it's
they
here
don't
for.
Use it. Whoa, I think I needed this rant sesh.
Wow. Yeah.
I have a lot of anger over these bicyclists. And there's nothing we can do because if you hit them, you'll get screwed. Because pedestrians and cyclists have the right of way.
So that's a great example of the rant sesh you can send on over to.
Did I talk about last time?
It's been all high over there, like, yeah, man, like, bikes and stuff.
Cool. I love you, Destiny.
So I love you.
I like to bake.
When and my brother and I were moving into my new place in Toronto, because he's also a cyclist, he does have a license, but he doesn't drive. We were carrying all of our HEMA gear, so I had like swords and pole axes and archery stuff on my back, and so did he, and we're on our bikes, and wow, I've never been given that much space ever in my life.
Because normally there's that awkward moment whether you're driving or on a bike or whatever. If you flip off a driver, you yell at someone, whatever, and then you pull up to the same stoplight and you look at me, you're like, oh,
you're a human being.
I'm just imagining what they're thinking. It's like, oh, we pissed this girl off. We're at the same light. It's like,
yeah.
Come
at me,
bro.
She's literally armed.
Dude, that's what I always think when I accidentally hit or almost hit someone and they almost hit me or like swerve into my lane, I get so mad. I'm like, you didn't see me? Like, what? You almost hit me. But then my mind, I'm like, dude, it was an accident. They weren't trying to. But I still, like, want to look at them and give them that look. But then when I'm given that look, I feel so bad.
Right?
Because when I almost hit them, then they come up to me and they give me that look. And I'm like, I wish I had a sign that said, like, I'm so sorry. Like, right? I'll take you out for coffee.
I'm supposed to be the Canadian. I'm so sorry.
Sarah can be a crazy bitch, but she's, like, one of the sweetest, too.
Oh, see, I'm weird.
No,
No, that's good. It's all about balance.
Yeah, right?
I love it.
One of the ones I hated, though, I was driving on I-5 going north, and it was almost in Linwood. And this guy in his stupid little, you know, zippy car. I don't know what kind of car it is, because I don't know cars.
It's a
sports, like, low.
No, I think it might have been a low car. And he, like I'm in my lane. He swerves into mine, gets into the next lane to the right of me. And he's just swerving around, going through all these cars. And once he's, like, two cars ahead of me in the next lane over, he pops his hand out and gives me the middle finger. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, you're the douche waffle that did this. I didn't do jack to you. Like,
so you guys have douche waffle and we have douche canoe. This is fantastic.
We do both.
Yeah, I love this.
I just like waffle.
Like douche waffle, yeah.
I kind of just want a waffle now.
Yeah, I do too. Douche canoe, I feel like, flows better.
Yeah.
Douche canoe.
Yeah, get in your douche canoe and paddle back upstream, buds.
You guys.
Did I talk about I did have one more rant sesh from me.
Ooh, go for it.
Yes,
and I don't know if I already did this one or not, or if I just thought about it a couple weeks ago about working at a restaurant. If you have a party of six or more, freaking call the restaurant ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Because nothing pisses me off more when we have a whole layout set up, we have our reservations for the night, a party of 12. Do you have seating for 12 people? And then they sit there looking pissed off and annoyed that we cannot accommodate them to their liking.
Yeah.
Screw you. It's like, you know what? We could set something together. I have two tables right next to each other that I could fit, but it's like 6 and 6 or 7 and 7. Well, we really wanted to sit in the same table.
Well, you should have thought of that earlier.
It's or like, go to a different restaurant. Oh, yeah, right. Call ahead.
Like, call a freaking ahead. We had a couple weeks ago at the restaurant, like, a party of 10, a party of 6, a party of 15. It's just like, in one night? Like,
and
one after another.
Called?
None of them called ahead.
Ooh, that would drive me bonkers.
Plus, I had my reservations. And that at least tells us, especially if you can give us a heads up a day in advance, we can maybe grab another girl.
Yeah, to help. Yeah.
And then they sit there and, like, wonder why everything's taking so long. And I'm like, because I had to take all your dumbasses, like, I had to get all your dumbasses water, then take all your dumbasses drink order, and then all your
All
food
you dumbasses don't even pay attention.
No. Yeah. It's like, who had the Moscow Mule? Thanks to one person looking.
And then they look at you and then you're like, the
you
vodka with the
ginger beer.
You obviously
never worked in the service industry.
Right? Yeah. Well, it's a you ordered this. You ordered. My thing is, like, if anyone comes in and, like, has more than, like, 10 as a party, I'm like, wait, what? Did you say 12? 12? 12. Like, really?
I don't mind if I've had parties where it's supposed to be 20 and only 15 show up. Okay, that's fine. I'd rather overprepare than underprepare.
Yeah.
It's a little annoying.
For sure.
The thing I hate, it's like, there's going to be 5 of us, and there's 5 of them. And at the end of the night, there's 15 at one tiny table for 5.
Mm-hmm.
Screw you, buddy. Or don't grab my chairs from other tables. Do not, because you may be messing up my section or somebody else's.
Yeah. I work Sundays every day, every Sunday in Georgetown. And there's, like, recently there's, like, this bar restaurant that on Sundays now in the summer has been a day club in Seattle.
Huh.
And it brings out the
crazies,
the people that what? But everyone's getting wasted on a nice Sunday afternoon.
Screw
and
brunch. Let's get.
Are you judging me?
And then they come. And then they come in and they're like, "It is exactly like that." Because they're like, "Well, we have like 4, 5, or 6." But then this guy, this girl, they may come later. And I'm just like, ugh. And then they're all like ordering like just like a hella shots. And I'm just like, "What? What?" This is Georgetown on a Sunday?
It is a nice, you work at a nice restaurant.
So where is this in Georgetown on a Sunday?
You want to go?
Hey, man.
Turn up.
Yeah. No, tell me, seriously, where
is it called?
This?
Like, literally, what is it?
The club thing?
Yeah.
C-U-Dodd? It's right, like, yeah,
C-U-Dodd?
Yeah, C-I-U-D-A-D. It's like,
C-U-Dodd.
Oh, C-U-Dodd. Okay. Yeah,
so if I bring a bunch of, like, sword-fighting badasses.
Dude, that would be so dope. Yeah, and then right next door, it's Flip Flip Ding Ding, which is like a...
What? Can you say that again just because I want you to say it again?
Flip Flip Ding Ding.
Flip Flip Ding Ding.
It's a this.
That's the name of it.
Arcades. Yeah,
pinball thing. Yeah, and then go across the street and get a nice pizza and some wine and bring your swords, please.
Because what's the name of the restaurant you work at?
Biennale.
Yeah, if you want
I know we're doing our after party at Counterbalance Brewing on, not our after party, our Saturday night shindig. You folks familiar with Counterbalance in Georgetown? They got some good beers, good brews there. We had it our little shindig there last year, and we also have the Cheese Wizards. They will be catering the event. Yeah, oh, I've heard. Yeah, I haven't tried the Cheese Wizards yet, but I've heard phenomenal things about their food truck.
I know. Every time I see the food truck, actually, I think they recently blew their engine, and they just got a new one. I saw.
Are they brothers?
I'm not 100% sure. All I know is that every single organizer at Sword Squatch is super stoked that these folks will be feeding us tomorrow night.
I follow them on Facebook, and every
what's
time
they call it again?
The Cheese Wizard.
Cheese Wizards.
I won't be able to eat anything then, is what you're saying.
They actually have, they do apparently like a gluten-free option, things like that too.
Oh.
Well, awesome, awesome. That's be something to check
so
out.
So freaking hungry. I think this might be a good place to end because I want to go get lunch.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to go find the Cheese Wizard because I always see it driving by to my other job. And I can't stop because I'm on my way to work and I have plenty enough time to just get to work and be good.
Yeah.
And it's so just sitting there staring at me.
I'm feeling the option of lunch too. Yay.
She's got the munchies.
She really does. But again, check out Sword Squatch 2017. Hold my beer. Yeah.
Sword Squatch.
Come watch the fights. Come listen to the lectures. Come meet awesome people and then learn how to hit them with swords. That's kind of the whole theme.
Get your spectator pass, $10, at swordsquatch.org.
And don't forget, come down and see us and pay us money in person.
Money's. But do check out Kimberly at the Rose Blade.
And
on
once
Facebook.
Again, we are at Sanka. That is the School of Acrobatics and New Circus Arts in Georgetown, 670 South Orcas Street.
Lovely, perfect. Lovely. Wow. And don't forget to hit us up with your rant sessions, my love.
I kind of want Destiny to read a rant sesh.
Oh, for sure.
High.
Yeah.
So I feel like I want to hear both, just totally like angry Destiny, but also like, hey.
No,
what's
I
the
definitely
deal with airline food.
Man,
airline food.
What the hell?
Well, all right, my loves. Is that a good place to end?
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye, my loves.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.